Blog Talk Radio.
Best boxing podcast in the world.
Are you ready? No! I said, are you ready?
Got an excuse tonight, Roy?
Let's not ask questions like that. Let's test it. Let's go to work.
Tonight, Roy.
Let's go to work.
You ain't shit. You got shit.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
You won't do shit.
You don't know shit.
What's going on, everybody? Another episode of Cheap Seats Boxer Show. Angelo here. JP will be calling in here in a second. We're going live on Blog Talk. As we've been telling you guys, it's been tough for us to get together. So this is how we're going to finish off the last episode before we get to the year-end awards, our Cheap Seats Boxing Award Show, which will be next week. So like we do, first things first, follow us on Twitter, Cheap Seats Box, iTunes, and Stitcher. Rate and review. Be the next unofficial sponsor. Go to Cafe Press. Check out the merchandise. Buy something for the New Year's, for 2016's boxing season. We appreciate it if you guys do that. Puts a little money in our pocket. Helps us out. You know, we have low overhead, so we never really ask for money. But we do appreciate anybody who goes and does that. Welcome to all the listeners. Podomatic, Windows Phone, SoundCloud, TuneIn Radio, Zoom listener. Before we get into last week's fights, next week when we do the year-end show and we get to all the awards throughout, I'm going to be shouting out all you loyal listeners, the people who have been there, who always interact with us, man, because we really appreciate everything you do to help keep this show going. And now, JP, are you there, brother?
We are in business.
There we go. I think you heard me there saying that we were just going to – I was going to shout everybody out as we're going through, because, man, we really appreciate everybody who listens every week, man.
Yes, absolutely.
All right,
you
JP, man.
So for y'all.
Exactly. Otherwise, it'd be like work almost, you know what I mean? JP, man, last week, you fight. For me, the highlight of the weekend had to be Luis Ortiz's knockout of Brian Jennings. Man, what'd you think about Luis Ortiz and what you saw from him?
Well, the power is real. That's definitely the point. The power is definitely real. I kind of like the fact that you could tell at certain points they both are trying to bang each other, but Brian Jennings was taking the punishment. Every now and then he would get good shots in, but whatever Luis Ortiz was hitting him with, it was real. And I could see the wincing and the backing up like, I don't want that shot again. So he looked good, man. I mean, I'm going to stop being a hater on people who get busted for steroids because he looked like he don't need them.
No, he doesn't look like he needs them. Hell, he looks like he barely even would use them. But, and that's the thing. We're going to have to – I don't want to get too over the top because I was extremely impressed with his performance. But, these things have been trickling out, so let's just give it some time. Nothing comes up. I'm going to be on him even harder on the next fight. You know what I mean?
I think if he's punching like that, people are going to try to dunk him.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. He's scary because he mixes skill and power, which at the heavyweight division is non-existent besides him, right?
Yeah, and that's why I said they're going to duck him. You know,
exactly, because, you know, everybody has either one or the other. Either they got some skill and no pop, or they got pop and no skill. He's got both, and he did that. You know, he hurt him early, but then Jennings kept on coming back. Every time Jennings would get hurt, the next round he would win. And it went back and forth when they get for a few rounds. And then about, I think it was the middle of the sixth round, you saw Ortiz kind of going Cuban on him, you know what I mean? Boxing, boosting, jab. Kind of wasn't mixing it up inside as much. He was like, okay, now I'm going to put my stamp on the fight and end it. And that's exactly what he did. And that uppercut was ungodly, you know what I mean? That had to scare every single person in the heavyweight division, no matter what anybody said.
You know, the best part about his shots and his fighting style is that you could see the major shots that hurt, but it's the little short ones when he gets close. They have to put that in slow motion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because just like the uppercut that put him down, you didn't, you know, it's like, yeah, he put something in that one, but you didn't really see it as, like, he's got, and you know those inside shots hurt worse because you can put more leverage on it.
Mm-hmm.
So as many heavyweights out there like that like to hover over somebody, I don't think they want to do that with him. I don't think they're going to crowd him at all.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, I would say in the heavyweight division, I don't think there was a performance as impressive as this year. Now the Fury win was for the most shocking win and probably the best win, but nobody has looked this good and was this as impressive as Luis Ortiz was in this win.
I mean, I got to tip my hat. I really do, because that almost made him a comeback fighter of the year, almost, because of the trouble. But he ain't make it, but damn it, he showed up. And I got to give props to Jennings, too, because he stood there. He kept coming back, but he took some punishment to make a comeback.
Yeah, he's definitely got heart. He's There's no question of heart factor, you know. And even though he lost to Ortiz, he's still a guy who can fight. You know what I mean? He's, in the heavyweight division, I mean, he's not top tier. He's not a top five or six best heavyweight. Seems like every one of those guys beat him. But he's that next level, so he's always going to get fight guys coming up, or he's testing that guy to prove whether he's worth moving up the ladder or. He goes back to the wrong court, you know what I mean?
Are you calling him the American Derek Chisora?
Yeah, a little bit, I guess. How about the heavyweight Gabe Rosado?
Okay, I could go with that.
Yeah, he's tough.
Gabe.
And he's going to beat most, but he's not going to beat the top tier. That's what it looks like right now.
Yeah, well, you know, I got to tip my hat off to him, too, because that heart definitely garners my respect.
It has to, right?
But, yeah, Gabe, yeah, and that's my dude, too.
Yeah, and Gabe, and you know, we can start to talk about some of the undercard. That was on HBO Latino. Gabe, you know, he gets a win over Joshua Cotty. You know, Claudia is Claudia. Claudia, I mean, and this is what we say about Gabe Rosado. He's better than most, but he's not that top tier. But he can push all those top tier guys. It's just eventually you know that they're going to wear him down. And this kind of shows you where Claudia is. And, you know, Claudia, he was like, I think he said that the weight was a little bit too much for him. But, you know, Gabe has only recently really settled into the middleweight division. A lot of times he was fighting in the middleweight division without actually being a middleweight. He was really a junior middleweight, and he's finally settled in. And I think you saw the power, the size, the strength kind of take over the last half of that fight against Body. And who knows? He may turn this into a possible Canelo fight. Hey, never know.
You know, the crazy part about it is, outside of the fight, but inside of the fight, I didn't realize how old both of those guys were. So my question is, you know, how old is it? How much? Well, you can see, I don't think Claudia has much left. But with Gabe, that's my question, like, because of all the fluctuating, is he, like, have a, not necessarily a second prime, but does he have more in the tank than most at that age? Because, I mean, he doesn't, 36, right? If I'm not mistaken,
yeah.
He's 36. But he doesn't, you know, he
said?
Doesn't
I,
look
I,
it.
I yeah. Well, hell, he was playing a young kid in Creed.
Right. I mean, but at the same, he takes care of himself well. But I'm like, you know, he may have more in the tank than most at 36, because most of his battles were more recent.
Yeah. Now go ahead.
No, that's part of what I think, because I think Gabe is settling to the weight, but I just want to see where this takes him, you know, because he's always tough as nails. We always got mad love for him. It's just he's an enigma right now, because I didn't put together the age with him, because I never saw him as somebody that old.
Yeah.
I never paid attention to it until then. I was like, wait a minute. Because nothing about him says 36-year-old, even as a fighter. Forget the look, but even as a fighter, it doesn't say he's up in age in his career.
Yeah. 36, that's Ortiz's age. You know, that's why Ortiz has kind of got to get on it too, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you know, heavyweight is a little bit different, of course. You know, they seem to age a little bit slower.
Oof. You know, I don't mean to hate on Ortiz, but he is Cuban. You got to legitimize at 36. You know.
That's true. He could be 46.
Yeah. He good,
and
though.
Is it me, or did Ortiz kind of look like, almost like Trevor Burbick a little bit, you know what I mean?
You know, he got the LeBron James forehead a little bit.
Yeah,
but that's
yeah.
All right.
Nicholas Walters and Jason Sosa on the undercard on the HBO part of it. And Sosa was definitely tougher than what, and I think he did better than what the commentator on HBO gave credit for. But I still had him losing that fight 7-3. And for him to get a majority draw, and the only card that was that had somebody favored, had him favored 6-4, yeah, it's one of those fights like, that's a bad decision. The only good thing, I guess, is that Walters didn't get a loss, only had a draw. You know?
Okay. I'm about to just go for it.
Yeah.
I didn't watch a fight. I watched the Inside Man, because I watched the robbery that you technically didn't take nothing from. You know, I watched stupidity. I watched people so stupid that they seem like they set out to rob a fighter. And maybe God works in mysterious ways. I don't know. But they set out to rob a fighter, failed at that, and then robbed the fighter they were trying to rob him for. Like, did Sosa win the fight? No. Did he fight? Yes. You know, he came to be competitive, but he didn't win. He wasn't ahead on no damn card in reality. I don't know what happened. I don't know who got pissed off and who got paid off and who got shorted at the last minute, and the check didn't clear, so they just said it's going to make it a draw. The whole play out of that, the judging was more important than the fight. And that sucks.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, you know what? We've done this a few times on Blog Talk, and I've never actually put out the numbers in case anybody did it. You know, all the people who are listening call in He only got 15 years, but you know, we'll take a quick call if anybody wants to call in. They press 267-521-0157. We'll be live for the next 14 and a half minutes, and then me and JP, I'm sure we'll go on for another 15 or 20 minutes after that, closing out this year before we get next year into next week's year in review and the awards. And then we'll take a couple weeks off and then come back in with our State of Boxing address, and that's how we end our year and begin our year. So anybody wants to, go ahead and call in. As far as the Walter thing goes, you know, you heard people saying that he may not have been as strong at 130. I don't know. I think let's wait and see, because maybe Sosa was just that tough. And if that was on a 13 knockouts in a row in his last 13 fights. So maybe he was just that tough. He's a Philadelphia kid, or close to it. You know, they're raised tough. So maybe he's just a tough kid. And Walter was hitting him with a laser shot. Let's wait to see if Walter's power didn't translate to 130 when he had his side smash over everybody. Let's wait and see. I'm not ready to make that call yet. He still seems to be pretty big for the weight class. And I think his power carries, and it'll. We'll get a better clarity on that on his next couple fights, those next couple fights. You know, which one? If it was a combination of the two, or was just so that tough?
I really think it was just a fight between two fighters who throw bombs and who are tough as hell. Mm-hmm. You know, so at the end of the day, if people think that the power didn't translate, get in the ring and fight them. Either one of them. Because I can guarantee you the next person that fights Sosa is going to get their ass knocked out too. So, really, you know, just because he lost this fight, ask the 13 people previously, can he punch? You know, and ask everybody who's fought Walters, can he punch? And ask Sosa and Walters about each other. Can he punch? Everybody will say, hell yeah. So if you think you see a chink in the armor, get your ass in there. You know? And make sure you bite down on your mouthpiece, because you'll lose
it. You'll lose that or a couple of teeth. also, you didn't see Gonzalez get beat by... Oh, God, the guy's first name kills me. Shabransky, how about that? and you called it, JP. You said you got Shabransky to win this fight. And we question that, you know, did Gonzalez peak on that Pascal fight and him not getting that decision, was it going to carry over? I don't know if it carried over, but Shabransky was just that active to where he just outworked him and had more tools in his toolbox than it seemed like Gonzalez had, and he won a comfortable decision. And Shabransky now, you know, they were talking about Gonzalez maybe going, you know, against Andre Ward or, you know, who knows, maybe a future opponent for Kovalev or somebody like that. Does Shabransky now move into that position? And a guy who's thrown that many punches, he poses it. If he could not, like, say he gets a fight with Ward, maybe he takes that spot that Gonzalez can take. Don't get those empty punches. It's going to be Ward's trouble. Ward, guy, slows the pace down, kind of like Hopkins does, kind of how Hayes does. So maybe a guy that good in that active, that could possibly give Andre Ward trouble, even though he doesn't have the skill set of Andre Ward.
You know, I just wasn't that impressed with Gonzalez in the beginning, and I thought would happen could happen. But as far as the thing with Ward, a lot of Ward's greatness lies in the fact that he can control distance. So even for Shabransky to win, he's gonna it has nothing to do with necessarily punching, power or output. It has something to do with being in the right place at the right time, because that's what war is really about. The right place, right time, right shot. So you have to disrupt that momentum. Now, I mean, can activity and aggression get in there? Yeah. But can it sustain it? That's going to be a big, you know, that'll be a that's a real, real tall damn hill, you know. But, I mean, he deserves, I mean, if Gonzalez was in the line for the fight, he deserves the fight now because he took him out.
I don't know. He's gonna be an issue for anybody just because of how active he is and how many punches he throws. It was a good fight, but he clearly won. And I just don't know. I don't know if that's the guy that Ward wants to go in with. So I'm not too sure he's gonna slide into that spot because of those things. You know, Ward is looking to cash in on a Kovalev fight later on, and do you really want to deal with somebody like Shabransky, or do you want to get something more that you think is going to be a more decisive, easy win because you don't want to push it too hard and then have to possibly push back a fight with Kovalev after you've done push back the fight that you, when you were supposed to be on the undercard of Cotto or Canelo. So, you know, it remains to be seen.
Yeah. Well, In all honesty, that is Andre Ward's MO. I think he would take that fight because of those tough questions. Because he'd be like, you know, I want this big fight, but this fight right here, it's more than just a tune-up fight. This is a fight that I have to really be, you know, really bring my A game and bring my skills. So I think that would be a fight that he would actually take, prepare his best for. I'm not saying he doesn't prepare his best, but you know what. Start looking like the SOG that we once have known, you know. I think it's right up his alley in his mentality. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't gonna be easy though.
No,
it's definitely not gonna be easy.
And of course the first fight, Yurioki Gamboa and Hyla Williams. Gamboa pretty much dominates the fight. And gets back. It was to see him back in the ring. It'll be better if we can see him back in the ring in the next, what, 3 or 4 months instead of another year or so down the road.
Yeah. You know what? You took all the words right out of my mouth with that one. You really did.
I mean, that isn't that Gamboa's problem, and a lot of, you know, unfortunately, a lot of those Cuban fighters' problems is their inactivity, guys who aren't frequent to get into the ring.
That is their problem, but, you know, I must put the caveat, I don't think that's their MO, though. I think they're getting put into these situations because I don't see these guys not wanting to fight. You know, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but it just comes out that they're the most inactive fighter. And it doesn't make sense to me, at least. But I love him. I like to watch him fight all the time. I mean, the Tornado is the dude. Win or lose, I like to watch him fight.
Absolutely. He can be so fun to watch, and he's really not your classic Cuban fighter, obviously. He goes in there to knock you on your ass. He's not doing too much dancing, you know what I mean?
True that. He's a joy.
Yeah, and I still think he's a little small for 135. I wouldn't mind to see him go down to 130, but in order for him to do that, he's going to have to stay active because the inactivity leads to weight gain that is harder to come off, especially when you're getting a little bit older now. So if he can stay more active, he could be trouble at 130. I mean, could you see him in there against a Jason Sosa or against a Nicholas Walters? I mean, those would be some really fun fights to watch.
Yo, I would love to see that fight now. You know? Seriously.
Yeah.
Because you already know he's going to start fast.
Oh, absolutely. That's what he does.
Oh, man, that would be a great fight.
Yeah, I mean, and let's just hope that that's how it goes. I mean, shit, 50 Cent ain't got nothing else to
when it comes to his boxing stable to worry about. I mean, it's funny because when it comes to 50 Cent fighters, Gamboa is actually the busy one. He's actually
right.
The busy one because Kirkland ain't never fighting but once every year and a half.
And the sad part about it is I know that ain't on 50. That's on Kirkland. That's just what he's doing.
Yeah, that's Kirkland's M.O. That is Kirkland's M.O. to go into hiding.
and that's the bad part about it because he's one fighter that I love to watch him too. It's just the win is the question. It's always win. You know, where is he? When is he fighting again? Well, he's a joy to watch.
That's what makes it so tough too. And it's somebody who's that enjoyable to watch and they're that inactive. I mean, you get really excited for whenever they're fighting again, but then you're also some apprehension because you're like, well, I don't know what kind of fighter we're going to see. He's been off for so long, and then, I mean, he tried to bring it to Canelo, but he got what he got. You know what I mean? And with Gamboa, it's the same thing. It's going to start fast. I don't know, after that, you're going to get
I don't want to sound cold, but truth be told, when it comes to those guys, in the future we're gonna wind up, if it keeps up like this, we're going to wind up saying, wondering how great they could have been if they would have been more active.
Yeah.
And that's what sucks. It's a lot of great fighters, I would say Laura is the busiest out of all of those guys, but he's not getting the opportunity to be seen like he used to. So it's like a lose-lose situation for those guys at times, and that sucks.
Yeah. That closes out the HBO part. We've got about 2 minutes left on the live part before we continue the conversation. And, again, everybody, thank you who's been listening live. And what we're going to get into on the back half, the non-live part, is, of course, Billy Joe Saunders, his victory over Andy Lee. And then we'll also be talking, if you saw the failed drug test by Erkin Temper, the heavyweight prospect, the guy who just, I think most recently, knocked out David Price. And David Price, that guy can't catch that. And so we'll be hitting that on the back half. Last thing for all the people listening live, follow us on Twitter, Cheap Seats Box, and iTunes and Stitcher if you want to rate and review and subscribe to the show. Go ahead and do that. And go ahead and text us or tweet us any of your end-of-year awards that you're handing out, Fighter of the Year, Round of the Year, all the basic stuff. Or you can email them to us at cheapseatsboxing@yahoo.com. We appreciate anybody and everybody who takes time out to do that. JP, let's go ahead and get into it, man. So Billy Joe Saunders gets the decision over Andy Lee. And honestly, it's a very uneventful fight. And nothing happened except for the third round, the two knockdowns by Saunders. And it seemed like at that point, Saunders just decided for 9 rounds, I'm going to go ahead and just ride out those two knockdowns and see if I can make those last for a decision victory. And it kind of worked out that way. As far as I was concerned, it was a draw. I had it 7-5 for Lee. The two knockdowns obviously balanced out the scoring. I scored it a draw, and I didn't think Saunders did enough to take the title. But he did, and we'll see where he goes from there. But what did you think about the fight and both performances, and who did you think won? Or as far as I was concerned, nobody deserved a damn decision. The draw would have been exactly what that fight deserved.
How can I say this? Because Andy Lee's always a tough guy. And I think to a degree I agree with you, but to a degree I'm like, well, I think Saunders, once those two knockdowns happened, I think he felt like it was easier than he thought it was going to be. I think to a degree Andy was fighting his way back in it, but Saunders was kind of giving off the vibe like, you know, unless you knock me out or knock me down, you're not really good. He wasn't in his control as he could be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why they gave him the fight, not necessarily the rounds and the knockdown, but he seemed to be able to control the perception because the perception went downhill after those knockdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And even though Andy Lee did do some work in there, it wasn't looked at properly at that time. Like he said at the end, he did kind of use Andy Lee's power against him. You know, I could give him that. He did do that. But, you know, I could see him winning. You know, the 7-5 him winning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and I could see the draw too because Andy Lee kind of, you know, he didn't lay down. It wasn't over just because he got knocked down twice by no means. But
yeah, because if it was that easy, you know, Saunders would have went in for the kill, and he didn't. I mean, they threw probably twice as many feints as they did punches in that fight, and there's a reason for it. If it was as easy as Saunders was trying to make it look like it was, then he would actually went in for the kill. But he knew what was on the other end, and he was smart to stay away from it, but it made for a grueling fight to watch. I mean, it wasn't the easiest fight to watch.
Because you're not used to Andy, and this is not on Saunders, it's more on Andy. You're not used to Andy Lee getting up off the canvas and kind of getting gun-shy. You know what I'm saying? Like, once he takes a shot, he's like, okay, fine, whatever. Even if he's going to take a lot of shots and almost get knocked down, you're not mm-hmm. used to him. Just, you know, sometimes he has that thing about him. He might just throw caution to the wind. And that didn't necessarily happen.
Yeah, exactly. Like when he got knocked down by Peter Quillen, I mean, he actually went on the attack after that. I mean, he wasn't just doing like he was against Sanders where he was fainting and not throwing punches. He went after him and took control of the fight in the second half of that fight, and everybody thought that he actually deserved a decision in that fight. And with Saunders, it was a totally different story. I mean, is Saunders' power better than people think, or has Andy Lee decided, okay, I've taken enough of these punches. I'm just done taking all these punches. I'm just going to wait for my opening and see if I can catch him with a big shot. You know, being the white, like we call him the white Randall Bailey, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's why, to a degree, that's why I say I think it's perception, because people are used to Andy Lee responding in a certain way. And because he didn't respond in that way that they're accustomed to at that particular moment, he doesn't get the credit that he usually would get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, you might have won some rounds here, but you didn't win them the Andy Lee way that we used to. So we'll give those to Saunders. You know what I mean?
Mm, absolutely. Hey, did you I didn't see the Gervonta Davis fight. Did you see that fight?
Man, what I will say about Gervonta Davis is he's feeling good. He punches hard. He baits people in because he actually, that's how he got the knockout, was on a bait, like baiting the guy in.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also, he punches hard on a regular basis, but he's also kind of smart. Like, not kind of, but he's also a smart fighter. Like, you know, he's not going to put himself out there to just get ran through, but he's going to give you enough to either counter you or get off first when you think you got a shot. So whatever they're doing over there with him, they're getting him ready. They are getting him ready. I saw him and I saw my main man, JoJo Diaz.
Absolutely,
and,
JoJo Diaz.
And I will say similar things about JoJo, but ultimately, JoJo Diaz has something that a lot of fighters are missing right now, and that's the ability to, when you're finishing a guy, to step back away from him so he doesn't get the chance to get a shot and then work him again. And he does body, head, and head, body. Like, he actually mixes that up when he catches you. So for anybody who wants to watch a future reference, get a good look at Gervonta Tank Davis and get or the one, or get a good look at JoJo Diaz, because they will entertain you and you're going to see the talent. You see special when you see those fights.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about JoJo right now is he seems to really be sitting down on his punches. It seems like he's bringing more power than he was early on in his career. I mean, he's still early on. But I mean, you know, say 4 or 5 fights ago, he seems to be sitting down on punches and bringing even more power. And finally, people are now talking about JoJo Diaz in that light. You know, like you were when you first saw him. You're like, ooh, this is. You know, when you just see somebody and you see something in them, and JoJo Diaz had that when you saw him the first time. And now people are starting to come around. Like, you know, I thought this guy was going to be pretty good. Now people are saying, I think this guy's going to be really good. And it's kind of cool that both of our prospects that we've been with, you know, since damn near day one, JoJo Diaz and Jose Ramirez, now they're finally starting to get that love from the boxing public. Like, hell, we got to start paying attention to these guys. You know, there's a lot of young fighters up and coming. You know, boxing isn't dead with the retirement, impending retirement of Mayweather, Pacquiao, Cotto, and even Klitschko. You know, there's going to be a little bit of a gap, but when that next wave of superstars come through, I think it's going to be real fun. You throw on Oscar Valdez, and I think if they haven't did him right yet, Robert East is a guy I love watching. Julian Williams. There's a lot of guys coming up right now that's going to really carry on the next wave. JoJo Diaz is one of those guys, you know, that we're going to be talking about for the next 10 years.
I guarantee that this what they call it, a scrum in rugby, this scrum to mm-hmm. the top is going to be some of the most entertaining stuff people have seen in years, because now all bets are off. Like, once Floyd officially just hangs it up, Even with his TNT fighters, at first it was like, we'll see. You know, there's just a lot of people under that banner. But even they got a bunch of guys, and you're starting to like, you know what? These guys are, you know, even if they get an opportunity, some people not, they are showing up. You got them showing up. You got, you know, Golden Boy still, you know, doing his thing. You know, you got these young guys, like even Imam after the loss to Granado. I think he's going to be probably my comeback of the year fighter next year, because I'm sure he's going to be good. You know, you got a lot of guys, not just Gervonta Davis, not like next year, I guarantee Errol Spence is going to beat the brakes off of somebody important.
Let's hope he gets the opportunity, because that's another guy. That's another guy who's a gap, who's going to fill in that gap. And everybody's high on Errol Spence. We want to see him take that next step to a former champion. You know, the guy, he's on his way down, but he's also is slipping at all. This guy's going to catch him and teach him a couple lessons. He needs to fight that next level guy, because he's there. He's, as far as his development, he's a little bit ahead of, like, JoJo Diaz and Jose Ramirez and Oscar Valdez and guys like that. And definitely Gervonta Davis, because he's barely starting his career. But I definitely want to see Errol Spence in there next year with a former champion, or even, you know, maybe not the heaviest touch, maybe one of those 5 WBA champions that they always have sitting in every division. But I want to see him take that next step, because we all believe that he more than even PBC's Fighter of the Year, Keith Thurman, I think has a much higher ceiling than even Keith Thurman. And I think he's that next guy who's going to take the mantle at the welterweight division along with Kell Brook. And even though Bradley's getting older, as long as Bradley seems to be there, Bradley's trouble for everybody. But you know,
pretty much.
I definitely want to see him get the opportunity. I hope PBC doesn't take him too slow. Don't do the Gary Russell Jr. to him. You know, don't make him have to get his ass whipped to learn something to come back and have a good performance, like Gary Russell did against Johnny Gonzalez. You know, after the Lomachenko loss. So let's hope they progress him well.
And this might sound a bit weird, but I don't think that's going to happen in the near future with fighters, because I was listening to Floyd Mayweather Jr. talk about Gervonta Davis, and he said he's probably going to get him a fight for the title for his next fight. And I remember there's another fighter that's going on that might get a shot too, but because Floyd is one of those people he's feast or famine in a sense, I think he's going to push that envelope of, okay, this guy got 15 fights. Is he ready? Let's put him in with those lions and those dogs and see. And I think the other people that are, you know, slowly, we're going to get him tuned up, we're going to get him this and that, I think it's going to push the envelope to say, if a guy's ready, get him out there, you know. And for some guys, that's going to work. And for some guys, it's not. But that's not going to necessarily mean if a guy loses, he can't come back. Just like people forget that Bernard Hopkins lost with his first or second fight early in his career, something like that. He didn't fight for like 2 years. You know, this is this era, and we're always excited about the future of boxing, but this era is going to make a lot of fighters, and it may break a lot of fighters. So, you know, I forgot the old quote, this is the best of times, this is the worst of times.
It definitely is that. Oh, man. Hey, real quick, did you see the stuff on Irkin Temple, the heavyweight, and the failed drug test against David Price and the cover-ups of a pass-fail test and all the shit that he had in the system?
I didn't see I ran across the story late, but I'm not surprised. You know,
I mean, he had about three or four different kinds of, that I just saw just quickly. I didn't even read into a lot of it. Just three or four different kinds of testosterone and steroids, and you know, you feel bad for David Price. Maybe he was a UK hype job, but you know, he has three losses: two to Tony Thompson and one to Irkin Temper. And Temper fails a drug test, and so did Tony Thompson in the second fight. So it's like. Even though Tony Thompson said his diuretic was high blood pressure medicine, but you know, still it's like, God dang, man, you kind of felt bad for him, you know, and then showing the cover up that's going on, I think it was in Germany. I mean, not shocking, Germans, hiding drug tests.
here's the problem that I have with it, the overall problem I have with it. It's still considered a win. Shit like that shouldn't be considered a win. If you won't get in a fight with somebody, win the fight, get busted for PEDs, and you still keep the win, that's bullshit to me. This is why, you know, back in the day when we was talking about, I hate to bring him up in this way, when we were talking about Manny Pacquiao fighting the Floyd fighting, it's like, you know, it didn't matter if he was on PEDs for real or not, because if he would have won, nobody would have cared. I think if you get busted when you're in a fight, I don't. If it's for performance enhancing, I hate to bring up Margarito because you know technically it didn't. But you know, hand wraps or the old Sonny Liston type shit. That shouldn't be considered a victory in your collar. Maybe a no contest, maybe a disqualification on the back end or something. But that should not be considered a victory.